They walked into history that night as the very first to ever proclaim the coming of the Lord. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another,
all right, I think we're ready now. So, Christmas Eve, it's a special time in that we have already come to the four points of the Advent candle, and then tonight we're going to light the Christ candle when we finish here. What I want to share with you tonight, I've entitled this message, by the way, I'm Sean, sorry, I forgot to introduce myself, I'm Sean Reinhold, and again, welcome to New Covenant Church. Thank you guys so much for coming tonight. We promise to get you out of here close to on time so that you can, you know, spend this time with your families. But tonight, as we come to the Word of God, you know, we've already had the scripture reading. We've already heard the story of our Savior's birth. And there are 3 points I would like for you guys to take home tonight. And those things are that Christ, He is our hope. Christ, He is our Redeemer. And Christ, He is our light. So let me just pray quick before we get started. Lord, would you have your way tonight as we have this time to just study your word? God, may you prepare our hearts, and may you get all the honor and the glory tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight we gather to celebrate. It's not a feeling, it's not a tradition, but it's actually a miracle. You see, Christmas, it's not just sentimental. It's actually supernatural. Let me explain. You see, it's the eternal Son of God stepping into time, taking on flesh, and then coming to save His people. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, this is the night when heaven touched earth. This is the night when promise became a person. And this is the night when grace arrived in a manger. Number one, Christ, our hope. You see, in Scripture, hope is never a wish. It's never a gamble. But biblical hope is a sure and steady confidence. And you know what? It's anchored in the character of God. You might know this story. In 1873, there was a successful Christian lawyer. His name was Horatio Spafford. And he sent his wife and 4 young daughters out ahead of him on a ship that was headed towards Europe. And while the ship was crossing the Atlantic, unfortunately, their ship collided with another vessel and it sank. And it only took about 12 minutes for it to go completely under. All 4 of Spafford's young daughters had drowned. His wife, however, did survive, and later she sent him a telegram. And in the telegram, it just had 2 words. It said, "Saved alone." So as Spafford, as he boarded a ship to join his grieving wife, The captain informed him as they were traveling over the exact spot where his daughters had perished. And in that very place in the ocean where his daughters had died, just imagine what he must have felt. But you see, it was there, over that deepest part, that deepest grief in his life, that Spafford wrote the words of the hymn, "It is well with my soul." He penned, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul." That statement was not a denial of what had happened. And it wasn't optimism of something better that was going to happen in his life in the future. It wasn't even a wish that things would get better. This was biblical hope. You see, Spafford's circumstances, it gave him no reason to gamble on a better outcome. Nothing could undo his loss, but his hope was anchored in something deeper than his present circumstances. It was and is the unchanging character of God. Later on in that hymn, he would write, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." His confidence, it was not in what might happen tomorrow, but it was in what Christ had already done. This is why biblical hope is not, "Well, I hope God will do this," or "I pray that God will do that," and just thinking on those things. Biblical hope is, even if the storm remains, I know who God is. You see, because hope anchored in circumstances will sink. If your hope has conditions, they won't be met. But hope that's anchored in God's character, it's going to hold. Why? Because God does what he says he will do. God is who he says he is. Hope anchored in God's character is going to hold even over those deepest waters. Horatio Spafford's hope was, it wasn't a wish or a gamble. It was sure and steady. It was confident in his faithful God. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says in verse 19, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." You see, humanity, we're helpless in our sin on our own. We could not climb our way out to God. There is no way for us to do that. We cannot fix what is broken. That's why God came down. That's why he came to us. In Romans 5:6, it says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." You see, in this birth of Christ, we see three unshakable truths. Number one, God, he keeps his promises. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him." Secondly, we see that God, he enters our broken world. He does not shout salvation from a distance. No, he stepped down into our pain You know, God with us. Number three, God provides this salvation that we could never achieve. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace we are saved through faith. It's not of us." Because you know what? If it were of us, we would boast about it. If it were of us, we would make it about us. It's not about us. It's not from us. It's not a result of works, or we would boast. In fact, God gave us this gift, His Son, the best gift ever given. You see, our hope, it rests not in what we can do, not in ourselves, not in our goodness, and not in our effort, but entirely in Christ. It was His perfect life, it was His atoning death, and it was His victorious resurrection. Secondly, I want you to see Christ as our Redeemer. Number one, Christ as our hope. Number two, Christ our Redeemer. You see, to redeem, it means to be bought back. It means to be rescued, and it means to restore at a great cost. We know what it's like to redeem something. You find something that's old and you put your time into it, you redeem it, you restore it, you put effort and energy into it, and many times it's at a great cost. Well, we need redemption. Jesus did not come, He did not come merely to inspire us, He came to redeem us. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "You shall call His name Jesus." Why? For He will save His people from their sin. This redemption that we have, you know, it's not something that's partial. And it's not something that's temporary. It's a complete redemption. He took on flesh to live the life that we failed to live, the life that we could not live. And he went to die. He died the death that we actually deserved. And as Gemma was singing "Away in a Manger," we have a manger up here on the stage, and it's right below the cross. Do you know that the manger, even from the beginning, pointed to the cross? You see, even the swaddling clothes that were read about in Luke, it foreshadowed His burial clothes. Jesus, he was wrapped tightly in these cloths at birth. And that we heard that in Luke 2:7. And then also in His life, in John chapter 13, He wrapped Himself in humble service. And then after His death, He would again be wrapped in cloths and laid in a tomb, in John chapter 19. But these cloths in the beginning pointed to what would be to come. In the beginning in the manger, and then during Jesus' life, in John 13, verses 4 and 5, it said, "So Jesus, he got up from the meal and He took off His outer clothing and He wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and He began to wash His disciples' feet. He dried them with the towel that was wrapped around Him." Jesus was wrapped at birth. Jesus wrapped Himself for service. And then, what people thought was the end, He was wrapped in burial clothes. You see, the manger points to all those things. It points towards the grave. But you know what? That grave wouldn't be His final word. Jesus was wrapped in these swaddling clothes, these strips of cloth. In that day, it was commonly used when an infant was born to wrap the baby in these cloths. And It's interesting, we see that detail in Luke 2, 7. And what a sign that would have been to the shepherds who were called to his birth. You see, because to them it would symbolize that coming of the Lamb of God. Why? It's kind of a foreshadowing, his sacrificial death. Because see, these claws, they were from a nearby cave used by these shepherds. And these shepherds would have been familiar because these would have been claws that would have been used to wrap the lambs that were born and used in the temple worship. Pointing yet again to the Lamb of God. And you know, these shepherds would have known that instantly because they would have understand that, they would have understood that connection. In John chapter 1, verse 29, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So, Christ, our Redeemer, through his finished work, our guilt is removed and our shame, it's covered, and our relationship with God can be restored. And our eternity secure. Ephesians 1 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses." Number three, I would like you to see Christ as our light. So, John, he declares this meaning of Christmas in this kind of cosmic term. In John chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "Well, the light, it shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So tonight, in a few minutes here, we're going to hold candles. And you know, we're going to proclaim something. We're going to proclaim a defiant hope. What is that? Well, no darkness. Not sin, not sorrow, not fear, not even death can extinguish the light of Christ. You see, this light does more than comfort us. It changes us. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." By grace, those who are united in Christ are sent into the world as reflections of this light, of his light. We have the opportunity to shine through love, through justice, through humility, and through truth. In closing tonight, I just want to remind you that Christmas is this announcement. It's that God is with us. Emmanuel. Hope has a name. Redemption. It has a face. Light has entered the darkness, and it will never go out. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Glory to God in the highest. Let's bow our heads and pray. And tonight, in response to the scripture that we've read and the singing that has taken place and the prayers that were offered up, I just want to remind you that you've heard about a hope that does not fail. And I want to remind you, it's not a wish. It's not a gamble. It's not something that's built on our feelings or circumstances. But it's a hope that's anchored in God himself. Some of you might have come here tonight carrying some sort of storm or fear about your future. Maybe you've brought in here guilt from your past. Maybe you have questions that you can't answer, or you've tried to hold things together on your own. But deep down, you know your anchor hasn't been holding. You know, the Bible says this hope is found only in Jesus, in the Christ, the one who stepped into our broken world. He carried our sin to the cross, and he rose again. He defeated death and hell. He did all this so that we might be forgiven. We could be made new. Hope, our hope is not earned. It's not achieved. It's not something that we can work for. It's only merely received like a gift at Christmas. Right now, maybe God's speaking to your heart and you didn't come here by accident. Maybe someone invited you. We believe in God's sovereignty. We opened the doors tonight so that we could honor the Lord this time of year. And you know what? This could be your moment. This could be the time that God might be just knocking on your heart a little bit. It's not tomorrow, not when life gets easier. Not even when you have it all figured out. Scriptures tell us that today is the day of salvation. You know, if you want that sure and steady hope, if you want your sins forgiven, if you want your life anchored in God and not drifting anymore, then right where you are, you can say yes to Jesus. You know, because he is the one who is calling. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we can say this prayer, say a prayer in our heart. I'll just lead a prayer, and if you feel led to pray this in your heart, quietly you can. Let's just pray. God, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that he rose again from the grave. I turn from my sin, Lord. I turn to you. I place my trust in you. Come into my life. Forgive me, Lord. Make me new. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed a prayer, if you prayed a prayer like that, or if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, let me assure you that if you ask God to forgive you, he will forgive you. And you know, you belong to God. And you now can have this hope that he'll never let you go. And if you did pray that prayer tonight, before you leave, if you'd just tell one of us so that we might rejoice with you. Let me just pray again. Thank you, Father, for this night and the opportunity that we have to meet together. We're so thankful for the nativity. We're so thankful for the birth of your Son. Lord, we're thankful that he is our hope, he is our redeemer, and that you are the light of the world. We love you, Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to light the fifth candle. But before I do that, I want to just do a real quick review. So, we have the first candle that was lit. It was the first candle that was lit. Was the hope candle as we were looking forward. The second candle that we lit was the peace candle. And then the third candle was the joy candle. And then the fourth, which happened to be the pink candle. No, I am colorblind, but it's the one that's different. I can tell. And then the fourth candle is love. And I've always found it interesting that, you know, that peace comes after hope. I think that's important. Because once we have the hope of Jesus in our hearts, then we can experience peace. You know, tonight, if there's something unsettled in your heart and you don't really have the peace of God, maybe you haven't placed your faith in his hope. You know, and then once you experience the peace of God, then joy really does mean something to you. You know, the difference between joy and happiness. You know, happiness is something, it's temporal, it can come and go, but true joy of the Lord, it doesn't change by your circumstances. Just like Horatio, you know, that story that we heard. Circumstances really changed in his life, but he held on to that joy through that anchor of Jesus. And then the fourth candle, love. This represents God's love to us. So tonight, I will light the fifth candle. And this candle is the Christ candle. And obviously, it's white because Jesus is pure. And of course, the light, he is the light of the world. And it also reminds us of the victory that we have in Christ because our sins have been forgiven. The victory over sin and death and the grave. Oh, I'm so thankful for those things. So to conclude our service tonight, we have a really good crowd here tonight. Those of you that can, I want to invite you to come forward. If you have your candles, if you don't have a candle, maybe one of the ushers can make sure you get a candle. But what we'd like to do is we would just like everybody to come, and we're going to make a circle around this way, all the way around the back, and we're going to come right back up to this side. And then what we're going to do is we're going to light the candles, and of course, if you look in the bulletin, it says for sure not to take the lit candle. You only dip the one that's not lit. We just want to make sure of that. So why don't we go ahead and if you're able to, let's all stand around the room, and we're going to see what happens. We're going to dim the lights, and we're going to see what happens as Christ's light is spread from one person to another. So let's just go ahead and make our way around. We don't have to hold hands.
Come on.
We don't have to. And when we're all in place, I'm going to ask Pastor Sean to say a prayer, and then we will pass the light one at a time all the way around the room. And when it gets back up here, we're going to sing one verse of Silent Night together. And you know what? We're going to be dismissed, and we might even get out of here on time.
Hey.
Would you pray, Pastor Sean?
Dear Heavenly Father, what a wonderful evening that you have given to us, and we thank you. And we thank you for this most solemn of moments as we prepare to pass your light on to others. What a symbol that is.
Yes.
Of the mission that you give us in this world to take your light and to pass it along. So, Father, as we do this at this very moment, please bear upon our hearts and upon our minds the significance of what we are about to do. That this is a symbolic gesture to the way in which we are to live our very lives as Christians. Go before us, go with us, take us in peace, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're going to take the light from the Christ candle. And
candle to make it all the way around.
Right.
But you want to start in the other direction.
takes a little time to spread the light through the world. All right, we're going to go ahead and start singing Silent Night. By the time we finish, hopefully we'll all be lit.